This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 115 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, everybody? Today, we have a treat for you. Legendary big wave surfer, innovator, Laird Hamilton.
Yeah, I can't wait. First heard of Laird about 5 or 6 years ago. Been following him ever since. I was stoked when he was on Tim Ferriss's podcast, him and his wife, Gabrielle. And, you know, the insights from the great man in terms of what he's achieved on surfing, business, what we spoke about before the show, innovation. So it's a huge one.
Yeah, Laird, I first heard of him over 10 years ago, only in living in Southern California. We would go to these surf events. But then also in America, he would pop up on like cologne ads. He was the guy coming out of the water with the surfboard. So he's really multidimensional, talented, and it's going to be awesome to share his story with you guys.
Yeah, he gives a lot away. Like, he's one of the editors at Men's Journal by memory. So he's got quite an interesting story about sharing both his fitness and nutrition passion as well. So in terms of bringing, you know, content and just really good messages to the world, I think Laird just ticks all those boxes.
Yeah, and one of the coolest guys I grew up with was a surfer, and he just had this thing about him, and I used to think it was just him. And then when I got into surfing and started hanging around more surfers, it's that surfing mindset. And Laird has that, and cool, laid back.
He's cool, good looking.
Yeah, but patient, yeah. Perseverance, and you know, think about all that time in the water, you're just waiting. Mm-hmm. There's parallels with that with your career, life, and relationships. So he's going to drop some bombs, and we're super stoked to get him on.
Yeah, I can't wait. But just a big shout-out to everyone listening to the show right now. We've been getting so much messages of support and social media interaction. You know, we love it. So please continue to do it.
Yeah, man, I should have wrote his name down. I wanted to give a shout-out real quick. Lives in Southern California, and he tagged us on social media. He was like, hey, guys, top 5 podcasts to listen to. So when things like that happen, man, that's why we push it. He put us in the category with, like, Rogan and Ferris. And that's what makes us continually want to, like, do this. It's just our mission to learn and share it with you guys. So we can't say enough for what it means to Tristan and myself, the support that you continually to give us.
Yeah, just remember to tell your friends and family. You can subscribe for free via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. For those on iTunes, if you could please leave us a 5-star review. Helps us grow and reach more people, which is what we're aiming to do.
Yeah, those reviews mean a lot to us for our ratings and where we fall in line with, you know, promotional stuff. And then also, you know, it gives us an idea, too, that, you know, we're still just getting started.
Oh, yeah.
And to see people interacting is the biggest thing for us. We love the feedback. And we just can't thank you enough, man. We love doing this.
Yeah, we don't think we're bigger than anyone. So please get in touch. Like, we love it when we have to interact on social media. Send us an email at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. We love it. But I know you're all waiting for Laird Hamilton, so I'm going to stop bambling. And let's get Laird Hamilton on.
Oh,
All right, our special guest is Laird Hamilton. Laird is widely considered the greatest big wave surfer of all time. He's an innovator in board sports, creative toe-in surfing, and largely responsible for the rebirth in stand-up paddleboarding. He's a contributing editor for Men's Journal and has been featured on the likes of Oprah, 60 Minutes, and Ellen DeGeneres Show. We welcome Laird Hamilton. Laird, welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you for having me.
Excellent, Laird. Let's kick.
Got my attention right now. What's that?
We appreciate you, Laird. Let's start the show off with. We're interested in your fans here, in your fascination, or what drew you to the big waves.
Well, I think I naturally was drawn towards danger, and you know, I think I was a little bit of a daredevil. At least that's what I was told when I was young. You know, that I liked that feeling of doing things that, you know, that had some sort of threat involved.
And in terms of that fear, like me and Johnny were talking before the show, in terms of going from just learning on small waves, like what's the process like for you actually to become a big wave surfer?
You know, people ask, you know, about being a big wave surfer, you know, what it takes. And, you know, you first have to have, the right disposition, or you have to be drawn to it. And then obviously having the experience of, you know, a 1 foot wave, a 2 foot wave, a 3 foot wave, a 10, 15, 20, 30 and on up. So, you know, you need to evolve your skill, but you got to start with the right disposition and then have the fortune to be exposed to, you know, rugged ocean conditions and then eventually, I mean, I would say, you know, that I was fortunate because I was around a lot of great big wave riders. And I think, you know, had I been around another group of men doing something else, kind of dangerous, I probably would have done that. But the fact is it was just, that was what was, you know, in my kind of in my yard. I was raised in amongst all of these kind of big wave pioneers.
And do you feel that your comfort level with danger has allowed you to keep taking risks with your businesses, with all of the projects you've done, just having that mindset of getting out of your comfort zone? And could you share the importance of that?
Well, I definitely believe that there's a formulaic process to life. I think that, you know, that there's formulas that you can implement, and, you know, my backdrop just happens to be giant surf, but you can implement the formulas that have brought me success in the ocean into business or other sports or any situation. And, you know, the ability to and the willingness to fail and be hurt and not be deterred. Those are some of the foundational skills, but it's definitely, the lessons I've learned in the ocean and the lessons those lessons I've been able to implement into other aspects of my life. And I find that I enjoy the process, the process of learning and evolving. And so, implementing that formula into another situation seems to just be the way that I go about doing things, given, you know, what's worked for me in the past.
Yeah. You brought up life lessons that you've learned. Can you share with the audience just a couple of those?
Well, you know, I mean, I think there's been humans on Earth for so long that, you know, you can't really have a unique feeling, but I always have a few proverbs that other people, that I've heard that ring true to me. But, you know, I mean, the old, you know, everything's all right until it isn't. I mean, you know, being optimistic and then, you know, and believing that you can, and then only when you aren't able to or are prevented from doing it, that's when you submit to that sort of, you know, that failure. But, I think my you know, my perseverance, my patience. I mean, I know that the ocean will make you a patient person. You know, I have a saying that patient is the fisherman that catches big fish. And, you know, people can go, wow, that guy sure caught a big fish, but they don't realize how many days and how many years the guy sat on the end of the fishing pole and waited, you know. And so there's some things about patience, and there's some, you know, there's some other some things about to endure and persevere, you know, to endure things and be successful. And, you know, I'm really a believer in that you're blessed openly what you practice privately. And so, you know, I put a lot of effort and time into preparing myself to be able to go into situations, and then I get blessed for that preparation sometimes publicly, you know, more openly in public. But, you know, not everybody sees the day in and the day out effort that goes towards, you know, either recovering from an injury or you know, or just being ready to try to go out into some of the situations that we, you know, that we put ourselves in.
Was being comfortable in the water something that's always come natural to you? Because you just mentioned patience, and the surfing aspect, I really enjoy the power of the earth, the movement, the wind. It's the waiting on the board for the waves that has always kind of deterred me, just because my head starts going and I start thinking of what could happen. For people like myself and listening at home, what's your advice on that, how to overcome that and to just enjoy the stillness of the water?
Well, you know, I think that first of all, you know, I always say that we are each our own greatest inhibitors, and that we prevent ourselves, you know, and that your imagination's always greater than reality. I mean, if you talk to any shark attack victim, they always will tell you that, you know, it was not as bad as they thought it was. And they end up being advocates to protect sharks. And, you know, I think if the thing about the ocean and being in the ocean and surfing is that you're in a relationship with nature. And so if you just look around and feel it and smell it and taste it, it's not a bad spot to have to wait. You know, it's not a dentist's office and it's not traffic. And so, you know, if you remember that, and that you remember that you're actually getting, you know, I have a very short attention span and I'm not great at waiting either. And that's why I have a tendency to choose disciplines in surfing that are more productive, that I can really kind of, you know, keep moving and minimize the downtime. But the fact is that, you know, there's great benefits by spending time, you know, just being in the water.
Yeah. Led, just thinking on danger, you know, a couple of years ago we had Mick Fanning and that event that he had with the shark. Do you have any stories that you can share of something similar?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, people, when Mick got rubbed by that shark, people go, oh, you know, it's a shark, you know, they called it a shark attack. I go, first of all, that's not a shark attack. That was a shark encounter. And, you know, the shark was hooked to his leash and was trying to drag him around. And it doesn't make it less scary, and it doesn't make the shark not be there. But the fact is that, you know, all the years I've been in the ocean, I mean, the fact, you know, the Mick's experience, I mean, that is, you know, how many hours have surfers been on the water, and how many events have there been, and how many, and the amount of sharks that we actually see is so minimum. I mean, they really don't, you know, they're not interested most of the time in us. And, you know, but I have been near, you know, large ones, and I've looked in the eyes of some big ones, you know, some big hammerheads and big tigers. And, you know, if I look at all the hours, you know, the hours and hours I've spent at sea, you know, there's so few that I can count them on my hand. I've 5, 6, 8, you know, encounters in all the, in my, you know, in my 45 years of, you know, or 50 years of being in the ocean and surfing. I mean, I'm also not spearing fish and, you know, dangling chum that would brain them. But, it's they're in a magnificent creature. And, you know, I always am just so in awe of them. It doesn't mean that, you know, if you're swimming a mile offshore, then you don't pucker up when you think you feel one. And I usually don't put myself in those situations, just because I have, a lot of respect that, hey, this is their, you know, this is where they live. You know, just walk through the living room of the bear's house and then be surprised if the bear's on the couch, you know?
Yeah.
Laird, it's documented that you co-invented tow-in surfing. Was this, I'm trying to understand the mindset, was this something when it was going through your head you wanted to do to evolve or innovate the sport, or was this something that you wanted to do to separate yourself from the pack?
This was something that I wanted to do to be able to ride giant waves that were in conditions that were just impossible to deal with manually, just too big of an area, too much water moving. And so, no, these things were, I mean, I'd like to say that, you know, that I make a conscious effort to separate myself. It just seems to be the natural direction that I go in. And I'm so used to being separated and kind of individualized just because of the way I grew up, that doesn't deter me. Normally what happens is people get deterred from their ideas if it's going to separate them, because, you know, we're all looking for a certain amount of approval from our contemporaries, or, you know, it's like we're looking for acceptance. And you know, I always said, you know, if people don't like you for how you were born, then you can't be surprised if they don't like you for how you act.
Yeah.
It's really difficult for people. Maybe it's in our human nature to accept change. Do you remember the hate or some of the adversity that people would be telling you when you were first verbalizing that this is what you were doing and this is what you were going to start, the big wave, the tow and surfing?
Yeah, I mean, there's always naysayers, and I have a tendency to use that as fuel. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, if it's really pissing you off or you really think it's not good, then maybe there is something to it. Again, not to be deterred. We all love to be loved and to be accepted, and we seek that out in many things that we do. I mean, you know, one of the places where I found great equality was in the ocean, and because, you know, I always said that people, they don't have to like you, but they'll respect you if you're able to do things at a certain level in a discipline or in an activity that they respect. And, you know, so for me to ever say that I didn't, you know, seek things out for, you know, some sort of approval or acceptance would be a lie. But the fact is that, you know, I just don't let it deter me if, you know, people throw negative stuff my way. And so, you know, in a way, I think I had so many, you know, kind of negative things thrown at me as a young kid and used those as fuel, that it's just, again, back to that formula where it's like, hey, it must be good if it's really pissing them off. but you know, back to the fact is it's back. It goes back to, you know, hey, is it really functional? Is it something that's really allowing me to do what I want to do? And whether people enjoy it or not, it's not for them. It's for me. To you know, and my whole drive from the beginning has been to try to ride giant ocean, you know, to be in the giant ocean and ride the giant ocean. And any way I can go about doing that more productively, safer, and, you know, that I'm going to pursue that. I mean, as long as I'm not, you know, physically hurting anybody else or, you know, doing any kind of negative thing to society, this is just a, you know, I wish it was, you know, in a way I could say I wish it was a little easier to not have this thing in me that's driving me in this direction. It'd be simpler. My life would be probably easier if I wasn't just driven by this passion that I have to do these things. But the fact, you know, it's not something I get to choose. I don't, it's like it chose me, and I'm just trying to be responsible to it.
Laird, how much surfing do you do now?
Well, it's, you know, as much as I can, you know, as excited as I can be about it. I mean, lately, because of these new small wave hydrofoils, I mean, I'm putting, you know, on average, we're putting, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day in. So I'm racking up some time, you know, I'm racking up some, you know, we're racking up, you know, some hours right now. Because I'm excited and passionate about it. And, you know, again, looking for a discipline that brings me passion so that I'm driven. You know, if you're a big wave rider and you're looking for an 80-foot wave and then a 90-foot wave and a 100-foot wave, and that's all you're going to do, well, then you'll be sitting around a lot.
You know? Yeah, for sure. Where was the, was it in Tahiti? Was that the biggest one you've ridden?
No, Tahiti was just a monumental moment because of the definition of that ride. It was very, it was the line from rideable to unrideable. Okay. And it was a very defined line. And so it had a very symbolic meaning. You know, we've ridden much taller waves. I mean, I tell people, I go, listen, measuring waves with a measuring tape is, it's like trying to, you know, measure three dimensions with one dimension. I mean, you just can't, you can't measure a wave by the height. I mean, there's the thickness and the velocity and the, I mean, there's so many factors that go into the power of a wave. I better describe waves as dogs, you know, like, and you know, pit, the Tahiti is a pit bull. And so, but there's giant, you know, there's bull mastiffs and great Danes, and there's a lot bigger dogs than a pit bull. It's just that particular wave was ferocious and vicious.
How come you never, I know you've answered this before on Lewis, just for the people that haven't heard it yet, how come you never competed on the pro circuit?
You know, I'm a bad loser. I don't, you know, and I don't like to be judged. I really don't like judgment. See, like we have enough of that in our lives. I like speed. I like time and distance and those defining things. But the judgment, I think the judgment aspect of it, and, you know, that competitive arena, I'm already a highly aggressive person and extremely competitive. So almost too competitive. So that format didn't really suit me. I think it brings out the worst in me. And I always thought that, you know, if you were the best at the biggest and the heaviest, then it kind of separates you anyway. I mean, you know, my idea of kind of having a challenge would be like, okay, we go to a cliff and we just keep going higher and higher and eventually until no one else will jump and you jump and then you win.
Yeah.
And that's a really, and I like that type of definition. And, you know, and honestly, I hate to be told what to do. I just hate people telling me, you know, and whether you like it or not, if you're in a contest, they're going to tell you when to go out and they're going to tell you when to come in. And then they're going to tell you how you did. And I'd rather go out when I feel it, come in when I want to, and then tell myself how I did. I'll know how I did by how I feel. And so I try to maybe take my destiny more into my own hands. But, you know, it's an unorthodox route, and I'm fortunate that I've been able to kind of, you know, I've had to wear a lot of hats in order to survive not having a platform like a tour and events and those things that, you know, being a professional bring you.
Laird, it sounds like that it's almost an intrinsic duty for yourself to continually fulfill your potential by pushing the boundaries and staying active and creating. Was this something that as a young boy, it goes back to maybe an inspiration of yours or a mentor? Was this always some feeling that you've had that you knew you had something in you to be great?
Well, hey, listen, you know, growing up, I had men that I respect. I have men that I respect now that I look up to. And so, you know, I mean, the fortunate thing for being with being a human is that you really, we have things to other humans to look at and to emulate or to want to be like, or just take the things you like about the ones that you respect. You know, hey, I like that. I don't love that about him, but I love that about him and I love that about him, and try to take those things that you admire and that you respect. And then there is the, and then of course, you know, every human is a unique individual and there's only one of them. And so you're going to have you're going to be a certain way and have a certain thing that only you have, no matter how many people are born. You know, every snowflake is unique. And so, you know, there's some stuff inside of you that, you know, and you don't know if you're getting blessed for, you know, for the things that have been done. I mean, my mother, you know, I probably, a lot of the blessings in my life are probably because my mother was such a great person that I'm reaping the rewards of that, you know, regardless of if I'm good or not, kind of thing. But, you know, I think there's so many factors that go into it. And, you know, definitely there's something inside that's burning, that every man that I see that has the things that I admire has an internal drive that is just, you know, that you just can't, you know, you just, they're just, it's like almost this intangible. It's this thing.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
We were talking to a gold medal Olympian recently, and he said since a young age, he had this mantra, this personal philosophy of just, he would tell himself, get up. Basically, every morning when he didn't feel like going after it, it was day in and day out of this personal philosophy of get up. Was there something that you have that you live by, maybe a sentence or a phrase that you live by that's allowed you to continually to evolve?
Well, I mean, you know, I have a new film out, and the title is Take Every Wave. And, you right. know, in a way, I think it's my – I know that it was just – I would try anything. I was like, I just had a thing that, you know, that I had the thing where I would just try, you know, my willingness to try stuff. What has been, you know, I mean, you know, much to my mother's dismay, but there's very few things that I wouldn't try to do. I mean, I'm fortunate that I have enough intelligence that, you know, I don't do things that, you know, so far that it put an end to me, but the fact is that, yeah, the willingness to just to try it, to just to try it, and you know, I always write, like, if I ever sign something, I always write, you know, all things are possible, you just have to believe it. So I believe that there, our potential is just unsurmountable. I don't think we can even understand the potential that all of us, each of us have. And, you know, but we just have to believe. And the amount of belief that you are able to create will directly determine the amount of results that you will experience. And believing is, you know, is a big part of trying everything.
Wow, some powerful words, man. Now, Led, just really, just going off of that, in terms of creating a vision for yourself, you know, you've achieved so much, you know, you just had a movie come out, you know, everyone knows you around the world. What's next for Led Hamilton?
Well, there's a saying, never let your memories be bigger than your dreams, but you know, I don't know exactly what's in store. I just know I'm continuing to, you know, try to evolve as a person, as a father, as a husband, as a, you know, as a friend, as an athlete. just trying to work on all those categories, you know, and I don't think there's enough time in this go around to do it all, but definitely looking to being open to what the possibilities are, because there's a lot of them. And so just keeping that open mind, that willingness to try new things and just see where my evolution takes me, because it's so far it's led me well. And, you know, again, I think following your instincts and kind of staying true to that, I think, is important. And, you know, I don't know, you know, what exactly is in store. I have a couple ideas, but, you know, what's that saying from the movie? The future looks bright. Got to wear some shades or something like that. But, you know, keeping a positive attitude about, you know, about life and being happy with what we're doing. And then again, just keeping our eyes open and our ears listening so that we can, you know, because it's something else is coming and it's going to be fun.
It's a great outlook to have. I know a lot of people that the unknown, the fear of the unknown inhibits their, you know, their present and their future. A lot of our listeners and Tristan and myself were coaches, so we're required and we have a duty to give our clients the best service. I recently read an article about you, and it was based around your, you know, health and fitness and your philosophies on that. Could you share with us maybe a lesson you've learned or the biggest mindset change in the last few years about your own personal health and fitness?
I think it's similar to what I talked about. I think you need to keep evolving. I think you got to stay out of the rut of, you know, whether it's in nutrition or in training, the rut of just being in the safe harbor, you know, being safe and eating what you eat or working out how you work out and not being open to, you know, exploration in your fitness, in your nutrition, in your sport, in your relationship, whatever it is. Again, that willingness to try new stuff. And, you know, I have a friend who's 83, Mr. Wildman. You know, his enthusiasm is amazing. And, you know, to retain your youthful enthusiasm, I think, is something very important. That mindset of your willingness to try new stuff and explore, I think that's the key to keep evolving and not stagnating, because it's, you know, there's only one thing happening. You're either going up or you're going down. So, you know, yeah. You just got to decide which direction you want to travel.
Do you have a recent story that you told yourself, like, damn, Laird, I can't believe I'm doing this, or I can't believe I'm eating this, or I can't believe this is what I do now?
Yeah, I think it's every day. Every day I'm like, I can't believe I'm going in this ice tub again. I can't believe I'm choking down this gallons of turmeric.
Yeah, very cool, man.
whatever, you know. Or, you know, I can't believe we're on these hydrofoils flying on 1 foot waves and feeling like, you know, like we're ditching school and that we're school kids again.
That's awesome. Because
I haven't been in school for a while. So.
Are you still doing your three breakfasts? So I read an article last year that you brought out. It was pretty cool.
About what?
You're doing three breakfasts. I think one was a supercharged coffee, a protein recovery meal, and an energy boosting juice. Do you still do that?
Yeah, I'm pretty much on fat. The espresso fat combo is kind of supplying me until about lunchtime. So I can go 5-6 hours pretty rigorously with a high level of fat. And I actually have some products that I've developed with Laird Superfood that I use quite a bit of, some mushroom blends and some turmeric. I got some creamers, and I'm fat happy right now. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. With all these businesses happening, was this something that, entrepreneurial side, was that something that was come to you since you were young, or was it something you developed as your career and your profile grew?
You know, I feel like it's a little bit what's happened. It's kind of come organically. It's just like I'm at the time where I can give it some focus. I think at this point in my career, you know, after being sponsored and supported by great companies for that help, you know, allow me to do all the things that I've done, I think I kind of feel like I'd like to, you know, be able to build some businesses that I can actually, you know, that can sponsor me, so I can be my own sponsor.
And for the budding entrepreneurs out there, can you share with us maybe one business tip that you've learned over the last couple of years?
Well, they say if you have a great idea, don't tell anybody for a year because they'll try to discourage you.
And they'll take it.
But, you know, one thing for sure is I think you just got to, you know, it's the steady climb, you know. It's like the little train that could. You just got to keep hammering away at it, and it's going to happen. You know, they have an old saying, 10 years of preparation, 1 year to make money. And I think that the key really is not to be discouraged and just to keep chipping away at that block. And one day a big chunk's going to break off, and it's going to be because of that you were consistent.
Yeah. Led, we'd like to pay tribute to our inner circle on this show. Can you share with us who your inner circle are and some of the things that they do for you?
Well, I have I have two separate groups of people that I spend time with. I mean, obviously the most inner circle is my wife. I think Gabby is just an incredible woman and you know, understands men better than they understand themselves, and then I have friends of mine that I spend a lot of time in the ocean with, a couple buddies that we're in the sea together, and Terry Chun and my friend Randall Sakota and Kavika Goodale and you know, these are some guys, and then I have some guys that I spend time in the ocean, and then I have some guys that I train with in California, and I got a friend of mine, Darren O'Lean, and John McGinley, and my friend Vincent Gallo, and Hutch Parker, and a couple other guys, Dave Annawald, just a couple other like-minded guys that work hard and eat well and kind of have the same philosophy about life. And I think it's important to have a core group of guys that are driven, that maybe on the day you're feeling a little low, they're up, and when they're a little low, you're up, and you just kind of keep pushing each other and having that support. And, you know, every man needs a good hunting party.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Led. Okay, we're going to enter, to finish off, we're going to enter the personality round, and Johnny's got the first question for you, Led.
Yep. All right, Laird Hamilton, if you were to interview one person, who would you want to interview? And what one question would you ask them?
Do they have to be alive?
No, dead or alive.
Who would I interview? That's a tough. That you're going deep right now. maybe Genghis Khan.
Yeah. And what question
what would the question be?
Yeah.
Why?
Right. Easy question.
Yeah, what's your intent?
All right, Laird, we're going to take you back to your childhood. Now, when you were growing up, what posters did you have on your bedroom wall?
Oh, I probably had what did I have? I didn't know anything. I had I had five summer stories, buddy. Because it was the best surf movie out.
And Laird, if three of your closest friends, relative, or three of the people that know you the most are sitting at a table and you're not in the room, what are they saying about you?
Manny sure has a loud voice.
Is that what all three of them are saying?
All three of them are saying.
It's a good trait to have, projection.
Laird, when you're having a bad day, what are some of the things that you do to try and get yourself back up?
Oh, the ice tub. I go right into the ice tub and some breath work. Breath work, the ice tub, those two things. And, well, maybe I try to find a room with my wife in it.
Very honest. And to wrap things up, Laird Hamilton, you're having a dinner party. You get to invite 5 guests. They could be anyone dead or alive, but they can't be any family or friends. What 5 people are you inviting to dinner?
For the dinner party?
That's right.
Einstein, Jesus, Buddha, and let me see. And I got 2 more still going?
2 more, Led.
Two more, and then, well, I got to get Genghis Khan back again. He'd have to be there.
He's got to eat.
And the last one, dead or alive or fiction, Nemo.
That's a first.
I like that one. Now, Led, you've been brilliant, man. So thank you so much for your time. Before we let you go, where can the people see the movie and where can they continue to follow you online and on social media?
Well, Laird Hamilton, you know, I'm Facebook and Instagram, and then I have, you know, I have a couple different projects. I have Laird Superfood, which is and then I have Laird Apparel, and then Take Every Wave. The film is just showed at Sundance, and right now we're looking for distribution. So I don't know. We haven't confirmed, finalized what that's going to be, but that's going to be coming out, I would imagine, this summer. We don't know where the release is going to be, but we, like I said, we had really good reviews at Sundance, and we'll see, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, man, we really appreciate your time and sharing the space with us, Laird, so thank you.
Aloha, and you guys take care, and speed and take chances, you know I would.
Thank you, Laird. Appreciate that, and we'll catch up soon, buddy.
Aloha.
Aloha. Bye. Guys, that was Laird Hamilton.
The legend himself, coming live from Hawaii.
Yeah, that was a bit of a bucket list. We both watched him, doing all these amazing things on YouTube and on TV, and it was just great to pick the minds of someone that I really, truly do respect, and someone that, like we spoke, me and Johnny was speaking about continual innovation. Like, yeah. Realistically, I'm sure that Laird could probably retire without working another day in his life, but he continues to want to achieve and grow as a person. It's amazing.
I'm super inspired by people who choose to do things that I don't do, like the surfing. Like, that's when we talk
fear,
about
man,
it, it's that calmness and stillness, and it's the waiting. And Tom Petty had a song called "The Waiting Is the Hardest Part," and break that down to whatever you want to compare that to. But just waiting on that board, which we mentioned in the show, like, to if I could get past that and experience the movement of the water,
yeah,
to actually understand that spiritual side. So like that, talking to Laird was, on my list for a long time, and it was awesome to share it with you.
Yeah, stay tuned, guys. Friday wrap-up show is going to be a big one. We've put a little bit of insights today. So we're going to be talking a lot about patience and perseverance and expanding a little bit on innovation. So a few executionable tips that we're going to bring on Friday. So tune in Friday as well. Next week, we're going to be doing an Aussie style. We've got...
Aussie style.
Yeah, we've got Greg Stark on, who's okay. One of our big Australian wellness coaches.
Sweat Equity,
like Johnny just said, his new book. And we've also... We're going to double that up into his mate, Delosa.
Yeah, good old Jack. Jack D in the house, entrepreneurial college, the entourage, the dude to savage, on the top of the CEO lists in Australia. So, yeah, it's a little Aussie double tap.
Yeah, two great entrepreneurs, and they actually know each other. They're friends.
Which was a coincidence.
Yeah, we did not know this at the time when we hooked up the interviews with them. But, it came out, and some brilliant interviews. So
yeah, tune in, man. Take-home point, Tristan, is that circle of influence.
Yeah, definitely. That circle of influence is brilliant. So, guys, stay tuned. Like I said, Friday wrap-up show on Friday. Well, I guess that's the only day you can do.
Wrap-up, guys. Show. It's very important to wrap up.
So, oh, God.
Yeah, buddy.
You went there.
Hashtag wrap up.
So, guys, remember to subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and please leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah, man, we really appreciate you. Appreciate the journey. Appreciate all the support, guys. Get involved and keep tuning in, and we'll keep bringing it.
See you Friday, guys.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
guys are scratching a niche, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.